We live, we love, we serve.
We are an ever-evolving community of visionaries, dreamers, and doers who have been called by God. Called to live the life you were created to live. Sometimes it takes a lifetime to discover who you are and how you show up. Well, here it is. God has done too much for you to try to be somebody else. Live the life you are created to live. And then we're about to enter a season we've never seen before politically and socially in this country. And so much hate and division and mean-spiritedness. That's why this year's theme is I Am a Love Revolutionary. We need to be reminded of that. Amen. So love beyond the limits of your prejudices. And then lastly, God has given you gifts and life and talents not for you. Your goal, your assignment is to share that, to give what God has given away. So we are called to live, commanded to love, and commissioned to serve. And here at FCBC, if you don't know, this is how we say it. We live, we live, we love, we serve. Listen, I want to look at a scripture today, and you can remain standing with me. Book of Psalms, Psalm 124. And I want to read the psalm in its entirety. It's only six verses. Psalm 124, verses 1 through 6. Psalm 124, 1 through 6. And I'm reading from the New Revised Standard Version of Scripture. And it reads like this. When the Lord restored the fortunes of Zion. Nope, let me change that up. Let me try this one. That's not what I want to read today. Oh, here it is. There we go. Psalm 124:1. If it had not been the Lord who was on our side, let Israel now say, if it had not been the Lord who was on our side when our enemies attacked us, when they would have swallowed us up alive, when their anger was kindled against us, then the flood would have swept us away. The torrent would have gone over us. Then over us would have gone the raging waters. Blessed be the Lord who has not given us as prey to their teeth. We have escaped like a bird from the snare of the fowlers. The snare is broken and we have escaped. Our help, somebody say our help, is in the name of the Lord who made heaven and earth. Come on, beloved, let's pray. God, we thank you. In this time of praise and worship, we're reminded of your steadfastness, your consistency in our lives. You have been faithful. For God, in the time of trouble, you have protected us. You have kept us. And we are ever so grateful. Now, oh God, let your word do its own work. And we'll be sure to get out of the way and let you be God all by yourself. For a faithful God, you deserve faithful praise, oh God. And we will do that today. We thank you. We love you. And we honor you. And it's in your name we pray. And we say amen. Amen. Let me read the remaining standing. Let me read that again. Psalm 124 in its entirety. If it had not been the Lord who was on our side, let Israel now say, if it had not been the Lord who was on our side when our enemies attacked us, then they would have swallowed us up alive. When their anger was kindled against us, when the flood would have swept us away, the torrent would have gone over us, then over us would have gone the raging waters. Blessed be the Lord who has not given us as prey to their teeth. We have escaped like a bird from the snare of the fowlers. The snare is broken and we have escaped. Our help is in the name of the Lord who made heaven and earth. Amen. Amen. Come on, put your hands together and give the Lord a hand clap of praise. You take your seat. Our hope is in God. It was overwhelming to many of us on the East Coast to see the news and the images of the fires that were raging here in LA. Immediately, many of us who have relatives and friends began to call and check on people to make sure that people were okay, because we could not fully comprehend what was happening. Even for some of you who may not have been in the heart of the flames, you still felt the heat from the experience. It was a lot. And if it was a lot for us watching it, it had to be a lot for you living it and experiencing it. It was one of those moments where you can become so overwhelmed by what seems like the absurdity of the situation and caught up in the different manifestations of anxiety and even terror. Sometimes in the midst of that, you begin to forget that these kinds of experiences, although they vary in their intensity, are often the experiences that we find ourselves looking back at reflectively and thinking about how faithful God has been. There were those who've lost homes and memories and things that meant a lot to them. We had a member here, by the way, who thought that the report was that his home was consumed. And I remember sharing his story a few Sundays ago, or maybe last Sunday, about it. And to his joy, his house was still standing. Now, you can't explain, because there are countless stories like that where the house burned on this side and the house was devoured on this side, but this particular house was still standing. There are stories like that, and you hear them and you celebrate. But before he discovered that his house was still standing, it wasn't whether or not his house was not consumed with fire. It was the attitude he had in the midst of what seemingly was a great tragedy. In the text he sent me, and I shared it with the congregation in New York last week, he said in the closing lines, he said, "We will rebuild stronger, and we serve a living God, and we woke up this morning." That was the last line. It caused me to pause in many ways, because we often think about, what does resilience mean? And what does resilience look like? And resilience is not just about the ability to survive certain situations and to come through certain situations. Resilience is also about your mental disposition in the face of what you're experiencing. Because when you realize that property can be consumed, but your life is still present, that things can be lost, but you're still breathing, you realize the joy and celebration is some of the most simplistic things that you could ever do. Waking up in the morning, taking a deep breath, looking at a clear sky. Those things often become the things you crave for when you look at smoke-filled skies, flames in the horizon. You really realize what is important. I heard one person say on an interview on TV that you hear what, but you really realize what becomes important when you have to leave in a hurry and grab what you can. And when you have to grab what you can, you start realizing those material things that sometimes we put great value on do not compare to being able to walk away and not be carried away. To be able to withstand and still feel stronger. To look back over what was lost, but then remember what remains. Oh, I hope you heard that this morning, beloved. You can think about what could be lost, but always remember what remains. Because no matter what circumstance, you cannot, and I've had to say this to myself in my life, no matter what I've experienced, no matter the pain I felt, there are some things that cannot have my joy. Some things that cannot take my peace. Some things that cannot rob me of the love I feel and I experience every day. So if you're here this morning, I know you may have come through this situation, but this is not the only situation you've come through in your life. This is not the only fiery situation you've seen. This is not the only time you've seen other things consume, but you're still standing. Think about all the times you felt what it meant to be delivered by God, rescued by God, saved by God, kept by God, held by God, loved by God. And then when you think of all those moments, here's what you think next. If it had not been for God on our side, where would I be? This is what the psalmist is writing in Psalm 124. It is a simultaneous celebration and reflection. Celebrating what God has done, but then thinking what my life would be like if God had not moved. Oh, beloved, think in your life right now, those moments where you did not think you were going to make it, when you almost lost your mind, your well-being, and your sanity, but God. And all of a sudden, you can understand why the psalmist in this moment, and I love it, it's called the Psalm of Ascent. When they were journeying to celebrate and worship together in Jerusalem, there were songs that they sang. Think about this. As they went to worship, they were singing songs. Pause. They didn't wait to get to worship to start worshiping and celebrating. On the way to worshiping God, they started celebrating and singing. If it had not been for God on our side, watch this, our enemies would have consumed us. The psalmist is talking about the perils we face. And when you read those next few verses, it's like a litany of terror. We would have been overwhelmed by the flood. Our enemies would have devoured us. We would have been overtaken by hardship. They begin to talk about all the things that could have gone wrong, but those things never manifested. Why? Because God was moving in the midst. Beloved, I need you to hear that today, because you ought to be able to understand that in your own right. And but the key is not whether you understand it. It really says, can I celebrate and worship while I'm on my way to celebrate and worship? Can I reflectively think about those moments in my life where if it had not been for God moving, where my life would be? But can I tell you this? It don't have to be on the way to worship. It doesn't even have to be in worship service. You could be at home, on the job, walking down the street. And I know I've had that experience when I see certain things happen and I think about where I could have been. It is not that God was not with other people. That's not what I'm saying. But it's the moments and the times where I know for a fact that the only reason I made it, the only reason I'm standing, the only reason I'm here, the only reason I can testify, the only reason I can praise, the only reason I can rejoice is because of God. Is anybody in here this morning who has that same testimony, that if it had not been for God, I would have lost my mind. I might have given up hope, but God kept me. Tell somebody, God is a keeper. Oh, God is a keeper. So the psalmist writes of the perils we face, but then here's the real rejoicing part, but also talks about the protection that God provides. That's the key, because I can never give more time to the peril than God's protection. That's where my focus is, on the protection of God. As I was viewing the TV and seeing all those things, I started reaching out to some folk, but I realized the truth is, one week it can be flames, one week it can be false friends, one week it can be co-workers, another moment it could be tragedy that was unexpected. And I have to always remind myself, this is the nature of our living. But it's also the nature of God's protecting. That for all of those moments, God moves. I've had to have those times, Alicia, when I had to pull back and pause, especially when my anxiety was at its highest, because I know some of us felt real anxious in the midst of that. When you get notification, you need to leave your house, not knowing if you return, if the house will still be standing. The anxiety rises, but watch this. Here's what I've learned, that when the anxiety begins to rise and I feel unbalanced and I feel fearful, I have to remember that I also have resources that can sustain me. And those resources are connected to the reservoir of experiences. I hope you catch that. That my resources that keep my mind and keep me steady are the experiences that I've had before. They may shift in intensity, but God still shows up the same way. It's my experiences that calm my spirit. I had one person send me a text from here, and they said, PM, I don't know. I think God is speaking. And my response, you know, was to keep it real. I said, well, let me just say this. God is always speaking. God doesn't just speak in one tragedy. God is always speaking. But sometimes we're so consumed with our lives, we don't pause to pay attention to hear what God is trying to say. But God is always speaking. And here's the other thing I had to remind the individual. Do not experience what seems incomprehensible and then begin to question the nature of your living or the nature of God. The worst thing to do when some tragedy hits is to begin to wonder, well, God, where were you here? And God, where were you there? Tragedy abounds daily. That's part of life. But when you realize what helps you and equips you to face the next thing is the past things you already know about and the current things that you're dealing with. That we face peril, we also know of God's protection that manifests itself in so many ways. And that becomes the true blessing. I learned this a long time ago, that no matter how dire it may be, that new life can always come forth. That no matter how bleak it may seem, that possibility is always on the horizon. That no matter what it may feel like in your spirit, there's always a different force reminding you of how much you have already survived and that you will survive the next day. You don't rejoice just because God did something good in the moment. You also rejoice because you got a track record of experiencing God already doing things in your life. Can I tell you this? I know when we, those of us who grew up in church, and we would hear the saints testify, and I would hear my grandmother and my uncle testify, and they would make these statements we heard. I've said it before, but I got to say it again. I would hear these statements that as a child, you don't understand in church. Now, I ain't the only one who grew up in here churchy. I know I did, and we had the devotional and the deacons in the front testifying and all that stuff. And then it would take one person who would set it off. We were all calm, and it took one person, and there were some lines that you knew that when this line hit, you knew it was on. And there would be always one seasoned saint. I remember my grandmother doing this one time. And she would get up. And here I was 6, 7 years old. Didn't think about this stuff at 6 or 7. Because they would also say things to you when you were young. Be like, you know, well, keep on living. And you'll understand it better when. Come on, I know y'all churchy. Stop playing with me. By and by. And then here it is. And then this is what they would say. My grandmother would say, if God never does another thing, God is already done enough. Do you understand what that meant? You see, I couldn't comprehend that at 6. But what my grandmother was saying, that I got so much experiences with God that the experience actually outpaced my capacity to celebrate. You catch that? You realize that the things God has already done already outpaces your ability to rejoice about it? That the things that God has already done outpace, you don't get that. In other words, you can't outpraise God's provision. Oh, I love that. You can never out-celebrate God's kindness, that God continues. That's why when you look at Psalm 124, it goes from the perils we face to the protection we get. And here's the last part, Darnell, to the praise we owe. Oh, gosh, that's the part. You see, I know sometimes, you know, this is a new generation and, you know, things are a little different. We do church a little different. But let me tell you, no matter how different we do church, it's the same God. And the same God, can I get real churchy, is worthy of new praise. When I heard that song, it's morning by morning, new mercies I see. How many of you know that you experience new mercies every day? That every day you experience new reasons to rejoice. Well, can I push it in? If you know that morning by morning you experience new mercies, that means that day by day you have new testimonies. Day by day you have new celebration. Day by day you have new praise, which means this. Can I really say it? That you don't need one instrument playing or one praise team member singing to be able to manufacture joy and praise in your life. When they would say things like, when I look back over my life and I think things, oh yeah, when you look back over last week and you look back on the week before, you have more than enough reasons to rejoice no matter what you may have lost or mourning. God is due our praise simply because God has already done more than enough. And it's in those moments when we begin to reflect on the mercy and the goodness of God that that reflection ought to give birth to our celebration. When was the last time you just got up in the morning and started having your own worship experience? And I'm encouraging you to do this. When you wake up in the morning and say, God, I bless your name because I made it through the night. God, I celebrate you because I was able to get up out of bed on my own accord today. God, I bless your name because when I made my way to the kitchen, there was something to eat. You see, I've learned it's not the complicated things that should give birth to our greatest praise. It's the things we overlook that ought to give birth to our greatest celebration. God, you kept my children. God, you spared my family. God, I know sometimes it gets on my nerves, but I still got a job. And God, I may not have a job right now, but I still got joy. And God, things may not be working out right now, but I'm glad to be in the service one more time. Beloved, I know mentally and emotionally, many of you have suffered much. You see, because people think that, well, you know, if your house didn't get burned, you good. No, it's constantly wondering, will the fires come my way? It's constantly wondering about people you care about. Are they okay? Like when the flames started getting closer a little bit to the city, it was like, wait a minute. Am I going to be good? See, it's not just the flames. It's the anxiety that the experience can birth. And before you know it, you feel overwhelmed. There were some folk who were afraid to go to sleep at night, not knowing what would come in the morning. And the truth is, no matter whether it's a fire, you never know what's going to come in the morning. But this is why I learned to celebrate today. I was flying over here, Tamisha, and something hit me. And it sounds strange, but it really fortified me in why today is the most important moment of your life. And I remember writing down my journal, flying over here, I said, tomorrow hasn't done enough to gain my trust. Think about that. Tomorrow hasn't done enough to gain your trust. But when you say, I trust in God, there's a line. Every time you sing that, you ought to say in the back of your mind, I trust in God today. Today. Because this is it. And when I leave this place, as long as I can help it, I ain't leaving nothing on the table. I'm going to make sure that I lean in fully to every single day. That's what tragedy ought to remind you. I wish sometimes that it was love that reminds us of that. But unfortunately, sometimes it's tragedy that reminds us of the preciousness of every single day. And the book of James talks about the folly of boasting about tomorrow, a time you've never seen, and talking about what you're going to do and how you're going to do it. For almost 30 years of ministry, I've been saying the most arrogant thing that we could ever say to another human being is, I'll see you tomorrow. Tomorrow ain't done enough for me to trust it. But today, whether it's a cloud or the sun, I saw it. Boy, don't miss that. Whether it's cool or warm, I feel it. Don't miss that. And whether it's big or small, I can inhabit it. God, I bless your name. Do me a favor, stand on your feet today. And I want my praying folk to come down, Deacon, Alicia, some other folk. Because I want to pray. I know sometimes we feel overwhelmed. And my God, I don't know how you couldn't feel overwhelmed. But if you're here today, and this past few weeks have been a lot emotionally for various reasons. And it has felt difficult to even sometimes move, because what I've learned is that anxiety can paralyze you. It can take hold of you. I've experienced that. So if you're here today and it has just been a lot, I want you to come up today. We're going to talk to God together. Don't wait for somebody else. And this is just maybe been a moment of time where the circumstances have gotten you a little bit. Come on over. Yeah, don't be ashamed of that. And also, it's not just the circumstances being overwhelming. Can I add the backside of that? It's the joy of knowing I'm good. I'm still good. I'm good. And here's what Paul tells us. I know what it is to have. I know what it is to not have. But in all things, I know what it is to be content. The secret is, no matter what the circumstance, I celebrate God. That's the secret. Watch this. I don't serve a situational God. So why shall I offer situational praise? That's why the writer said these powerful words that speak to us when we're in pain. I will bless the Lord at all times. Look at that. His praises shall continually, not just when things are good or not even when things are bad, continually be in my mouth. That's what we do all times. We celebrate. So if you feel comfortable and you've come here this morning, just put your arm around the person next to you. You don't even have to know them. Just because you ought to always remember that you are not alone in this season. And there's nothing like the security you can feel by the embrace of even someone you don't know, reminding you that your presence has value. God, we bless your name. And can I ask you, those who are still remaining, I want you to think of someone in your life right now, your family, a friend, who you know needs prayer. I want you to lift their names up while we pray. Intercede for them. And just lift them. Stand in the gap for them today. Yes, come on. I was at the church this week. We had an event. And I said, sometimes our humanity can be robbed in subtle ways. It was a documentary about men, and they said how as men, sometimes we are reared thinking that somehow to be a man is to be emotionless. And then many of us have heard that, I'm speaking particularly now to some brothers, but we've heard it, you know, don't cry, be a man. I said, look how subtly that's an attempt to rob us of our humanity, because to be a human being is to be emotional. So when you say don't cry, what you're telling me is that to stop being human. When I hurt, I say, ouch. When I feel happy, I smile. When I'm joyful, I celebrate. That's what it means to be human. So no matter what you may be feeling right now, sadness or sorrow, let it out. You get no credit for holding in your emotion and trying to abate your humanity. Be who you are and live that life, beloved. Come on, let's go to God. My God, we just bless your name today. God, you see the tears and you hear our cries. But God, what the history of your people reminds us today is that you hear us and see us. And God, when you hear us and see us, the word reminds us that you then move on our behalf. So God, we thank you for moving on our behalf. We thank you for allowing your power to work on our behalf. God, we thank you for moments like this when we are reminded that you are still very present in the midst of our struggles. Because God, the truth is, when we're going through and when we feel like our backs are against the wall, it is that word that's the reminder that allows us to push forward a little bit more. God, you're with us. You're with us, God. So God, today of all the things we could celebrate, we celebrate your presence. Because God, we know that when your presence is, there your provision shall be. Where your presence is, there your love shall be. Where your presence is, then your spirit will abide. So God, we thank you for your abiding presence, your abiding spirit today, God. God, thank you for holding us to times we didn't even want to be held. Thank you for loving on us the times we thought no one cared. Thank you for showing up those moments we thought we were alone. And thank you, oh God, most of all, for reminding us of what is essential in life. Because God, a whole lot of us have lived long enough to know there's not a price tag on peace. There's not a price tag on joy. There's not a price tag on love. There's not a price tag on our sanity. So God, we thank you for the things that will always remain as long as we stay connected to you and to one another and let your love reign in our lives. God, we love you. And we thank you in particular, oh God, that this year you're calling us to be love revolutionaries. Because God, what this world needs at this moment is just that. They need people, oh God, who live, who love, and who serve. We love you, Lord. We honor you, God. And it's in your name we pray. We say amen. Amen. Listen, if you feel comfortable, get somebody a hug, a fist pump. Tell them you love them. Amen. Yeah. Yes. Come on, let's sing that one more time. Yes, my Savior, the one who will pay. Yes.
He will never fail. I trust. Yeah. Amen, beloved. Listen, we're not leaving yet. It is, let me see if you know, it is giving time. There we go. Good, you can take a seat. It's giving time, and you can keep that on the screen. For those who are digitally app, you can scan the QR code. It'll take you directly to our giving link. We'll give you a chance to do that. If you're old school, you're like, listen, I need an envelope. Put your hand up. We got you covered. We got our ushers passing out envelopes today. I want to remind you that many of you know we're really encouraging us to be supportive of this space so that we can continue this ministry. I wish this theater was free. I really do. But it's not. I wish they were kind enough to let us just have it. But it costs us to be here. And so I want to remind us of being supportive. This is something I know God has called us to be here in LA, and all of you are testimonies of that and bear witness to that. And so again, if you need an envelope, you can get, we got somebody up here, Stephen, and yeah. But while you're working on that, maybe you're doing it digitally, let's just pause 2 seconds, just hold off the screen for 30 seconds. Let's just go to God. God, we thank you for these, your gifts, your tithes, your offerings, oh God. God, we pray for a spirit of deep generosity today, oh God, that we will give to continue the work, oh God, because we are still in the infancy stages of this FCBCLA experience. But God, we know you can supply all of our needs, especially when you move through your people. So remind us, oh God, that as we deepen our generosity, we actually expand our humanity and pour into the work, the assignment, the ministry you've called us to. This is our prayer in your name we pray. Amen. While you're finishing that up, you'll have the worship team sing a little something, then we'll get ready to depart. Come on. Yes, yes. Come on.
Just want to pray.
Hey.
Forever.
Yeah.
And ever.
And ever. For all you've done. Yeah. For me,
I will say blessings and glory.
Blessings and glory. Hey. And how much cash you have? How much cash you have? I forgot we got to pay the daggone security guards. Yeah, yeah.
get the offering baskets. Offering baskets. Amen. Come on, everybody, let's stand. Listen, as always, it is a tremendous joy and pleasure to be here in LA and share, especially in this season. We thank God for all of you who have come today. My goodness, thank you for being a part of the FCBC LA worship experience. We will be back when? I said when? February 15th. That means you got some time to tell some folk to come to be a part of the FCBC LA family. And we are grateful, grateful. If you're first time here today, I hope to see you again. And we thank God for you. Amen. Let's go to God in prayer. Now unto you, O God, who's able to keep us from falling and present us faultless in your presence. May you continue to remind us of your protection, your provision, and your presence. From now until we meet again on the other side, where the sun neither rises nor sets, because the sun is Jesus the Christ, the light of the world. It is in your name, O God, we pray. And we say amen. Amen.